Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And Jeff, we will open up today's 5 at 5, talking a little NCAA tournament. I'm gonna go right after you here. All right.
Okay.
Who is cutting down the nets?
If Zion Williamson's healthy, I think Duke's the best bet.
All right. So we went from Duke clobbering Kentucky, the first game of the season. At that point, they were going to go undefeated.
Right.
To then we were like, we'll pump the brakes. I mean, they might not even win it all. To now, no, they're probably going to win it all. Like, Zion won us over that much with that run in the ACC tournament.
He looked incredible. Now, I wouldn't say they're a majority favorite, but I would say they would be a plurality favorite. There's like in my mind, I would say the different pistons firing, like who's going to win this thing. Duke would probably get about 40% of the support in my mind right now.
It's like, can he carry them to it? Well, yeah, because he just carried them to the ACC title. But what does, and we've seen Carmelo Anthony do it at Syracuse, what is kind of stunning watching Duke, though, is
they can't shoot. That's the worry.
Well, and that they need a guy, like Duke needs a guy to carry them.
Yeah, I know. But again, it gets back to them not being able to shoot. To me, the big thing, though, Chris, I don't think they have to do any heavy lifting. And I get Virginia Tech beat him earlier this year. If they wound
without
up playing,
Zion,
right? If they wound up playing him in the Sweet 16, I mean, it's like, do you really think Virginia Tech would beat Duke in the Sweet 16? I think they've got as easy a path to the Sweet 16 as you could have, and then the potential foes they could have in the Elite Eight. I mean, you got Mississippi State, Liberty, Virginia Tech, and St. Louis. I get it; it's a one-game deal. Anything can happen. I mean, they lost to Mercer a few years ago, but do you really see one of those teams beating them? And then, you know, in the Elite Eight, do they get LSU, Louisville, Michigan State? Well, sure, that game could go the other way. But this is as clear a path as I think they have. And I think the other thing is with him, now they are not a complete team. One of the reasons I think this has been a really fun basketball season is that you have a lot of really good teams. I don't know if there's necessarily a great, great team out there, but I think with Zion, Duke's probably the closest thing to it.
Well, yeah, but they're also – it really is. It's a bit of a one-man show. They've only lost two games with them, and one of those was in overtime at Syracuse and the other was by 2 points on a neutral to Gonzaga. So – you know, they were without him, and they lost twice to North Carolina and once to Virginia Tech, and they almost lost at home to Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And Wake Forest missed a layup at the buzzer. They would have lost at home to Wake Forest without him. So he's clearly the guy, but get him back, and they win the ACC tournament. So
and listen, Barrett's numbers this year, I mean, what, his lowest scoring game's like 13. He set the ACC record for a freshman number of times going over 20. So him playing off of Zion, I mean, he's the best player. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think it's going to be a great tournament. And I think you've got a couple of potential SEC, ACC battles on that right side. They like putting Carolina and Kentucky together, don't they?
I'm yeah, just saying, they, like, the last 25 been a number of matchups,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, they've been in there a lot. I mean, if it wound up on and I'm assuming they play the same day if you had Virginia, Tennessee, and Carolina, Kentucky, I think that'd be a great story.
Well, you know, you always ask, like, you know, wouldn't they love to have that matchup in the Final Four? But then on the other side of that, they'd also like to guarantee having one of them in the Final Four, at least do the best they can to get one of those outcomes.
In 1985, the Big East had three of the four teams in the Final Four.
Yeah, and was like 2 points away from having all four of them. Like, didn't Memphis beat Boston College by like two?
No.
Or not Memphis.
Memphis State beat Oklahoma in the Elite Eight. Now, they might have beaten BC in the Sweet 16.
Okay, all right.
But, I mean, you got three number one seeds. And then your pick in the West, I think Florida State's a legitimate contender. This could be as good a chance as any league has ever had to get all four.
Well, sure. I mean, they do have three of the number ones.
Right. And then a four seed in what looks like the most open of the brackets.
Now, the average, I think it averages out for the last 20 years that it's like 1.5 one-seeds
right.
make the final
right.
four. So it still is, on average, less than two of them make the final four.
Now, one year, didn't we finally get all four in?
Yeah.
And it finally happened.
Right.
But usually, two's usually your best bet. Wouldn't you agree? The best bet is at two.
Sure,
make it.
But even that's above what you normally get for an average. Like I said last hour, though, this is the first tournament that was seeded without the RPI, and I think a much better metric was used in that net rating. So maybe this is the year to just, when you start looking at it and think maybe there won't be a lot of upsets and these higher seeded teams will go, because this could be a better seeded bracket than we've had in the past, just because they're using now a much better measuring tool than they were with the RPI, which last year had Xavier as a one seed, and Xavier was immediately bounced in the second round by Florida State.
Well, and it's one of those deals, too. I mean, you know, trying to pick these things is difficult. And don't take my word for it. I mean, I don't know any more than anybody else. But just to give you an example, my picks here, Chris, I've got one versus two, one versus two, one versus two, and four versus two.
All right, me right off the bat.
So I've got of the Elite Eight, I got three ones and four twos.
I've got Duke, and I don't think I'm going to end up with Michigan State, but as I look at the bottom
half.
Who
else are you going to pick?
That's what I'm looking at now. I'll get back to you on that.
All right.
In the West, I like a four Florida State versus a six in Buffalo.
Okay.
That'd be a heck of a non-conference football game, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Well, Buffalo might be favored now.
I like a one and a two in the South, Virginia and Tennessee, and I like a five and a two in the Midwest. Yes, Auburn and Kentucky.
Here's what worries me about Auburn. They had to play four times in Nashville, and they got that deal. Now, at least it was easy travel for them.
Look,
Nashville to Auburn, but
War Eagle is peaking.
I know, but now they had to play four games in 4 days, and now they got to travel to Salt Lake City. I'm just telling you, that's one of those deals. The winning Sunday, getting sent west on Thursday.
And they play at like 1:30.
That's brutal. I think Auburn, I was with you. I was going to ride them, but now it's almost just like one of those, just like too many people are on them now. That's hard travel, Chris.
Here's my biggest issue with them is, and I'll concede this, I do think the gap between their floor and their ceiling is wide, that I think Auburn, more than any of those other elite teams, could definitely lose to New Mexico State,
right,
but are also capable of beating Duke for the national championship. But like, whereas we're saying, like, Duke's not losing, they're not breaking a sweat until the Elite Eight.
Right.
Tennessee's not losing to Colgate.
No, I
wouldn't even think that Cincinnati or Iowa would be much of a problem.
No,
but
no,
like Auburn, New Mexico State. I mean, I could see them with a bigger problem. I think Auburn kind of got hooked with their seeding after winning the SEC tournament. They end up a five,
and they also won, I believe, with that. Had they won six of their last seven regular seasons, so they won 10 of their last 11.
The only loss was that where they got blown out of Kentucky. But yeah, they're peaking at the. At the right moment. And so it concluded they've beaten Tennessee twice.
How about this LSU-Yale matchup? Just two programs ridden with scandal. The Yale women's soccer coach had fired and Will Wade suspended.
Yeah. Imagine that. LSU and Yale. Just involved in all the hot scandals. Are there any of those other – let's see. USC didn't make it. Texas didn't make it. Georgetown didn't even make it, huh?
No.
All the other schools that are, like, caught up in that, is Yale the only one?
I believe Texas relieved its men's tennis coach, by the way.
Well, I thought last we checked he was in jail.
He got out.
Okay. I mean, they went to Felicity Huffman's house. They had guns drawn. That FBI.
William H. Macy. What is this one? Because that sounds like a movie he'd be in.
Well, William H. Macy, he was caught on those phone calls, but apparently he was just sort of like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. That was a good play on his part.
Probably one of those, this doesn't sound like the best idea, but.
Plus, he's on that show Shameless. You know, he's got something going on right now. I don't know what Felicity Huffman is up to anymore. She was nominated for an Oscar once, and she was on
Desperate
Lonely
Housewives.
I guess her latest gig has just been trying to get her kid in some college.
I would have loved, and I know he did movie reviews for Munson, to have done a review on Lonely Housewives.
Yeah. I would have loved to have heard his review on this.
Oh, my gosh.
Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman.
Have you seen Loughlin's daughter?
Yeah. By the way, they both of her kids have dropped out of college.
Of course they have.
Yeah. And the one was on, like, the chancellor of USC's yacht last week when her mom was getting arrested. I guess she was learning. Maybe she was rowing.
Yeah, that's right.
She was on the cruise.
I was working on, you know, how to – I was trying to think. Most of my seamanship knowledge comes from watching Jaws about 100 times.
Yeah. Well, I can think of all those weekends that I spent on Dr. Adams' yacht when I was at Georgia.
I mean, that's – so the daughter was out there?
Yes. Coming, you know, return. The mom, Lori Loughlin, was out of town or something. She was coming to turn herself in, and the daughter was on the USC, the chancellor's yacht.
Is that a shade inappropriate?
I don't know what was going on the yacht, but I think it speaks to, like, why did you even have to,
right,
like, con your way into school if you had these connections? Like, it would seem like you could have just gotten in through the
how Thornton Mellon got in.
Well, yeah, and like how a lot of people have already accepted that wealthy people get into schools is they just directly, you know,
or
donate a lot of money to the school and
Thornton
you get
Mellon
in.
Thornton Mellon said, the reason guys like you have got a place to teach is because guys like me donate buildings for you to teach in.
Right. So that's, I guess, why did Lori Loughlin bother to get involved in the scandal when if her daughter was connected enough to be hanging out on the yacht?
Well, yeah. The bad part is, though, but these coaches kept the money. That's the dirty part.
That was supposedly coming from a charity.
Because that was tax exempt. This guy had an unbelievable scam going.
Yeah, I know.
He was getting paid on all fronts.
Yeah, and the business was also, it was a legitimate one, too, for some. And then there were others that he would reach out to some and say, like, hey, listen.
It's like
they're front doors, back doors, and then side doors.
The Corleones actually did. They were in the
olive oil business. Tony Soprano did have that waste management company.
He did. Now, did they
own – I don't even think that was legitimate, though.
Did they own Sal's? Or was that just their hangout?
I think that was just a hangout.
Yeah, I don't think they owned it.
They had the office in the back. Well, what the Bing? Did they own
the Bing? They owned the Bing, yeah.
Of course they owned the Bing.
The Bing and a waste management. No, they definitely owned a construction, too, because remember, that's where Vito
did they own that, or was that just –
he owned a construction company, a waste management, And the Bing.
And the Bing, okay. Yeah, but I think the Satrialis was just –
that was just a hang.
A hang, yeah.
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 I did like that the FBI agent would go eat there.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like, look, just
– and then eventually he warned Tony that they were making a move on him.
And then he got them to help, which was kind of, I guess, a play on what happened in World War II that the government got because they were worried about German sympathizers bombing the harbors in New York. So Lucky Luciano basically had his guys kind of police the docks there in New York.
Yeah, because he had gone on to – he was working in, like, Homeland Security and not with the FBI anymore.
Right, and he was like, hey, you know, if these guys are trying to buy guns from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. It's good to see the mob and the FBI working together.
Absolutely. Moving on to the 5 at 5, give me your what's your best bet for the SEC in the tournament? Well, I'll just go team by team. Mississippi State.
I think they could get to the Sweet 16, but they could also lose to Liberty. They're one of those teams. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay.
How about Ole Miss?
Ole Miss, I think one win max. Unless Gardner Webb beats Virginia.
I'm like, who are they playing?
Oklahoma. They're in the top right.
Oh, yeah, they're the 8-9.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not beating Virginia after that, which gets me to then Tennessee.
I think Tennessee could go all the way to the Final Four and then some.
Auburn.
I think Auburn could make a long run. I'm with you that I – to imagine them beating Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky. That's hard to wrap your head around, isn't it?
Oh, it is, but I can't wait till it happens. With Bruce Pearl, sweaty Bruce Pearl, and all his assistant coaches who have been, like, arrested or put on suspension. I think it's like two of them.
You know, the headline, too, would be if they make the Final Four. Arrested development.
Yeah.
Auburn makes first Final Four.
Well, did you see? I think it was a TV station in Birmingham that yesterday, after they won the tournament, and they were doing a report on it. The graphic said Auburn wins sex tournament.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And you wonder, too, like, was that an autocorrect or something? Which it could have been.
But up for the TV station?
I don't know. You would think that might be either that, or that's one where a Winona Ryder type in Reality Bites just kind of let that one slide.
Yeah.
Auburn
maybe
wins.
Someone like typed it and saw it and went like, you know, that's too funny to change.
We just got to leave it.
Auburn wins
Whoa.
Sex tournament.
Ooh, Whoa.
War damn Eagle.
WDE, baby.
And then finally Kentucky.
Oh, I think Kentucky could make a run to the Final Four for sure.
And finally, I forgot Florida and LSU.
Florida, I think one win max. I think Nevada will beat Florida. LSU reeks of a second-round loss, but they got a pretty good draw. Maryland ain't that good. I mean, LSU should beat Yale. Now, or that's, you know, could Belmont beat Temple and then beat Maryland, then beat them? Those play-in teams have had some success. VCU went to a Final Four.
I think one has made it to the second round in every tournament except one.
And I think there's something to be said, too, for play-in. And you've got a game under your belt, especially if you go to an arena with – and I know they open up in Dayton, but I think you see it in conference tournaments sometimes – if you play one game, play in that second game where you got those different shooting backgrounds and depth perceptions, it could help you. So I could see LSU losing to Belmont.
I think the other thing you a lot of times get with that, and that VCU team was one mm-hmm. of them, that those are the teams where there might be a couple of them that are people are yelling for a couple days that they didn't belong in the tournament and they shouldn't have
we'll
been
show
in.
You.
Yeah, and VCU is one of them.
Yeah, Jay Billis, I remember, was just going on a rant about how they didn't deserve to be in.
Yeah, but they
went to the Final Four.
Yeah, here we go. 15 teams won a first four game involving an 11, 12, 13 seed. 8 won its round of 64 game to reach the round of 32, so a little
yeah.
over half.
I'm just telling you, that getting that game under your belt and having played, and we understand rest is important. You don't want teams to get fatigued. But also, I mean, let's face it, these guys in the summer in AAU, they're playing like 3 games a day.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Yeah, and here
I think as much of the load of anything can be when there's over-scouting.
Yeah.
Just more of a mental load.
Right. You just go and play. Each year since the first four, at least one of them's gone on to the round of 32.
Thank you.
So, I guess another thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
When you're filling out the old bracket.
But here's the problem with that: when you're filling out a bracket, it doesn't make good business sense. Like, are you going to put Belmont to go to the Sweet 16? I mean, they might lose to Temple. Then that just crushes.
Then you're
you.
Crushed. Yeah.
But if they go,
then you're gold. But, well, there's only four possibilities because the other play-in games are all 16 seeds.
Right.
And we did finally have one win last year, but
yes,
still never pick a 16 to beat a 1.
You did.
I did?
Well, you
– Well, I took the 20.
You did take the 20?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I took the points.
You didn't go straight up on UMBC?
No, but after they did win by 20, I was like, I wish I had just bet the money line.
Because you can do that thing in Vegas, what's it called, lightning, where you basically bet the reverse cover, and the more
yeah.
it goes.
I've heard those are either pleasers. Sometimes they're called that, too.
Because the dogs, I remember when we beat Florida in 97, Coach Donnan's team that had Hines and Mike Bobo and Robert Edwards and Champ and Kirby and Matt Stinchcomb. God, that was a great team. We were a 19-point underdog to Florida. I had a good feeling that week. I liked us to win the game. And
you didn't like reverse cover, though, did you?
No, but and a buddy of mine from up north was like, man, you should have gone out to Vegas and played lightning on that thing. He goes, and especially as a 19-point favorite to win by 20, he's like, man, you could have put like $100 on that. You'd have won like way up in the thousands.
Yeah.
It's like, well, geez.
Well, that's easy to do when we already know the result.
Should have done that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, stuff like that does happen sometimes. And UMBC most definitely – can you imagine the odds you could have gotten on that? No, I want Maryland-Baltimore County minus 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would have ended up a push, though, right? What was
I
the final?
I thought they won by like 23.
Okay. All right. Well, then it was in the 20s.
Yeah.
But either way, yeah.
Because I remember when Virginia was like, Virginia's got it down to 13, and UMBC came down. They didn't even work clock, and the guy just drains a three. It was like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, they lost to Vermont in their conference tournament, so they didn't make it back, but Vermont did.
Well, they should have gotten a bid anyway.
They should have been grandfathered
in. Over like St. John's?
Yeah, they should have been grandfathered in just for having made history last year. But give me, speaking of the likes of Maryland, Baltimore County, do you have a scary double-digit seed that could make a bit of a push here?
St. Mary's has had a great program for a long time.
St. Mary's also beat Villanova a couple of years ago as a 10. I think that was a 10-2 game in the second round, yeah.
I think Auburn's got a scary game against New Mexico State.
What about Northeastern and Kansas?
God, it's hard to pick against Kansas. Although they have, in their day, they've been known to lose one or two.
Well, this
like
is like the first time in like a century they didn't win their conference.
Which means they'll probably win the tournament this year.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah, so I would – that's probably my best. Yes, Buffalo's a 6. Nevada's a 7. I think Oregon is a 12, but that doesn't really count, right? Because they're a major conference. So I'd say St. Mary's would be my best. I'm with you on Irvine, too. And a lot of times with those West Coast schools, a lot of it depends on the officiating situation you get. So if you get a Pac-12 ref who will let the West Coast schools, who they call the more physical teams for the fouls, that's a huge difference right there. And by the way, I do like Houston. Don't sleep on Georgia State. I mean, all kidding aside, I mean, they won 2 SEC games this year. They beat us. They beat Alabama. And the Sun Belt's a very good basketball league. The top half of it is very good. They won both the regular season and tournament titles there. They probably deserve to be better than a 14, but don't sleep on Georgia State.
Well, they were a 14 a couple years ago when they upset a 3 seed
Baylor.
From the state of Texas.
That's
yeah,
right.
Baylor.
Don't sleep on Georgia State.
All right, Jeff, finally, as we wrap up today's 5 at 5, spring practice starts tomorrow for Georgia, but I want to skip that. Last year during the fall, you would ask me before games what acceptable scores would be for Georgia that week. Like, I know you'd take a one-point win right now, but sometimes I would say, you know, if we only beat that team by 1 point, though, that's not a great sign.
You know, the only time the last 3 years I've said, nah, I wouldn't take a one-point win was that Nichols State game. And I was sitting there in the timeout before that third down play going, oh, my God.
I'll take a one-point win right now.
We were up. I was like, we're about to lose by one. Thank God we got that first down.
Well, all right, so we're going to skip spring practice. We'll talk plenty of Georgia football over the next couple of weeks, but there's only so much. Like, who needs to have a big spring for
That's
Georgia?
Right.
Like,
everybody
needs to have a big spring. So let's just go ahead and fast forward to Vanderbilt in Nashville, game one this year, right now on March the 18th, the day before Georgia starts spring practice. What is an acceptable score for the Dogs in that game?
I will take a one-point win right now, but I would say 17-point win, 31-14 or better opening day.
You'll take a one-point win right now, but let's be honest. If Georgia goes to Nashville and wins by one, that is a bad sign for the rest of the year, is it not?
And then I'll be asking you every day, do you think we can beat Tech?
And if we beat Vandy by one, my answer will be, I don't know.
I don't know. But, no, so I would say for the first game, I'd say a 17-point win I'd take right now.
So 31-14 would be acceptable?
Yeah. I don't think it'd blow everybody away, but I would take that.
41-24 good?
I don't know about our defense giving up 24 to them.
Yeah, see?
Not unless, you know, they're fumbled punts or something. And I think ideally – if you won by 24, if you outscored by a touchdown in three quarters and by a field goal and won to like 31-7, 34-10, then you start getting in that territory where, okay, you obviously would have dominated all three phases. And, again, this will be their first game without Kyle Shurmur. Our defense needs to wreak havoc.
Yeah, we need to prevent them from scoring.
Yes.
I would say between 10 and 14 points would be – acceptable.
So what's your score?
as an acceptable score?
Yes.
I think they get between 10 and 14 max, and we got to get into the 30s.
Oh, at least.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So
I mean, let's be real. Like something like 45-10.
Yeah. And you're off on the good foot. All then right. You got two weeks to rest before Clobber and Notre Dame. What's an acceptable score for that game?
I've got a 27-17 Dogs.
Okay. Right now, I'm leaning, if Notre Dame even scores in that game, it is unacceptable. They kicked a field goal against Clemson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, there's today's 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.